All right, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. April 28, 2023, here in Sydney, Australia. It's the Crass Files podcast with Adam. Joining me on the podcast today is the wonderful Dr. Rima Labo. Dr. Rima, boy, has been on the podcast with me over the years. I think some of our first shows were back in 2015. We used to talk with Ralph and Dr. Rima about so much. And so it's great to plug in with the doc again, being so busy and going around all over the place and all the work that they are doing. And we're going to find out about this on the podcast today. It is great to grab the doc and to clarify some things, because it's just crazy times. And we were just discussing this before, that it is crazy times. What's happened in Australia is unbelievable. And we need to start to take a breath here and clarify things and work out where we are and get some action going. And boy, we're in incredibly important times right now. So it's going to be a great podcast. And as always, when the podcast goes out there, I'll put in all the links that everyone will need. And I'm sure there's, I'll get off the dock, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more links that she wants me to tag in there for people to click on. I've got a bunch now. So a very important discussion that's going to be today. Head over to crassfiles.com. We've given that a facelift, so lots going up. And this will go up in the new podcast slider and play, and also out on the RSS feed. And for the members, you can get a bit extra and go over to buy me a coffee as well. And that's where I do the members' extra podcasts over there on that platform now. Had to move it off the website. It's just getting too heavy. So we're over there now at Buy Me a Coffee. And they use Stripe as well. So it's all working out okay. And the members have jumped over there and will continue along. So contact me through the website anytime, and I'll put Dr. Rima's contact information up. And there's plenty going up. So enjoy the website. And everything's linked up there. We're on Telegram at BitChute. And those channels as well, and I'm sure Dr. Rima has lots more channels that she's on too. And Doc, boy, incredible times. And we've just been having a pre-show chat, and you bring up probably, you know, the one of the most important topics, I think, out of all of this, with what's going on with the UN and the documents that you've sent me. As I said, I will put these the Australia exiting the WHO and how we can all get this done, and you to explain the pandemic treaty and what's all really going on here, and Malcolm Roberts, who I chatted to, where he has it wrong and what we need to do and go through all of this. People are a bit confused about it. But I do know that people don't want some foreign entity or body coming in and taking over our lives, because that's going to get really serious. And we went through hell here, but and it was all, as you said perfectly there, there's no pandemic. It was all based on an absolute lie. They scared people. They made people stand down and submit. And I think people are onto this now. I've never seen such an awakening. And maybe we needed this shove to wake people up to what's coming down the line here. And we'll also get Dr. Rima's incredible and life-affirming and very valuable opinions on these jabs as well. What is this, and how can people maybe who have had them work to better their health and get this stuff out, and what we see looking forward after so many being pricked with this stuff, billions perhaps. We don't know the true numbers, but there's a lot to discuss here for sure. Doc, we haven't chatted for a little while, but anyway, that doesn't matter. We'll do some more, and always great to have you on with me here. How are you going in your neck of the woods? How is everything?
Thank you, Adam. First of all, thank you for having me here. I love to talk with you. Well, all good, except society is being torn apart and there is a death star coming over the horizon to destroy our society and kill most of us and enslave the rest of us at the genetic level. Other than that, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All good. Yeah, everything's no worries. No worries. Everything's just peachy, isn't it, on planet Earth? I mean, exactly. But you've been, I mean, I was just saying before, like, you've been dead set on this issue of depopulation and control since I've known you, and you've never gone off key. You've always done, the conspiracy theorists were right, And we are right. And you were right. You have not gone off this track. And boy, you sort of think to yourself, how are they going to do this? And bang, boy, it's been a crazy few years, isn't it?
Yes.
I just can't explain it. I mean, you being in the US and everything, but.
The fact that it seems crazy and it's hard to believe and it all seems so surprising is part of the enormous psyop. And I'll be happy to explain what I mean by that. Normal people can't imagine this happening because it seems so crazy. And both as a human being and as a psychiatrist by training, I can tell you with confidence that it is crazy. It is batshit crazy. But the thing that is so hard for normal, decent people to understand is that all of this has been in the planning and has been anticipated and has been laid out for at least 140 years, when the plan to literally take over the entire world was laid, and I'll talk about that in a moment, when the plans for this were laid, they were laid by people whom we today call psychopaths, and the people who are bringing it about are psychopaths. And a psychopath is someone who has absolutely no affiliation, no feeling, no concern about anyone or anything else in the world. Neither chick nor child nor kith nor kin means anything to them. So they'll kill their grandmother, they'll kill their kid. They don't care because nothing and no one matters but their own perceived well-being. This is a very difficult thing for most people to even truly conceive of, because we all care about something. We care about someone. We care about we're affiliated with our nation or our neighbors or our mother or our kid or somebody or the dog, something. But these people pretend connections and have none. So they will destroy and kill without compunction if it seems to serve their own needs. Now, what do I mean by that? The first billionaire that the world ever saw was John D. Rockefeller Sr., a U.S. guy who made his money in oil, when oil was brand new, petroleum, oil wells. And he was utterly ruthless and without compunction. He had no moral code whatsoever except I win. And he had a son named John D. Rockefeller Jr. who was not particularly interested in the business. He ran the family business, Standard Oil, for about 5 years. And he said, Dad, you know what? We have all this money and it's much more interesting to me to take over the world. And his father said, yeah, let's do that. And so through predatory philanthropy, they set up the Rockefeller Institute. They set up the Rockefeller Foundation. They set up a whole bunch of other organizations and they laid out a plan to literally destroy society and to control it, and to have a few basically serfs of one sort or another, and to get rid of everybody else. The man who introduced eugenics to Germany, who set up the Kaiser Wilhelm Institutes for the, quote, supposed scientific study of eugenics, etc. That was John D. Rockefeller Jr., the man who pressed for the legislation and implementation of the involuntary sterilization of hundreds of thousands of people in the United States, the unfit, the feeble-minded, the morally unfit. That was John D. Rockefeller Jr. The man, actually, he supported, the Rockefeller philanthropies, supported women's suffrage, women getting the vote, because not because they thought it was a good idea for women to have the vote, and I think it's a really good idea for women to have the vote, but they supported it because they wanted to weaken the family. They supported progressive education, not because they wanted children to be able to recognize their own feelings and pay attention to them, but because they wanted to eliminate the harder side of education, the rational thinking part, and create workers who were fit to take orders, not ask questions, not have critical thinking skills, and work in their factories if they were allowed to live. Quite literally, they said these things, and they spent their money to take over medicine worldwide under the guise of doing good things, like eliminating hookworm and malaria and yellow fever. They set up medical schools all over the world. They set up schools of public health all over the world. Now, public health is, I'm sure there are good epidemiologists and public health people in the world, but public health as a profession and as an education career track was actually created in order to do precisely what we saw the public health system do with this COVID nonsense, to have fictional fictional concepts like urban pandemics. And the truth is, as you know, Adam, perfectly well, modern societies don't have pandemics. If you have a working medical system and if you have adequate nutrition, sanitation, and hygiene, you don't have pandemics. People have working immune systems, and the immune systems take care of the disease. The only way you can have a pandemic is either to lie, which is what happened, and we didn't start seeing the deaths until they rolled out the mRNA and DNA vaccines, or you can use a bioweapon. And, of course, the Rockefeller philanthropies and their associates have been deeply involved in creating the science to allow the development of bioweapons. They laid the whole program out. They were, now we call them globalists, but at the turn of the 20th century and the early 20th century, they were called Fabian socialists. And these are the people who decided that they could determine who was worthy to allow to live and who was not. Now, when Aldous Huxley, who was a Fabian socialist, wrote his book Brave New World and published it in 1922, he laid out precisely how the society was going to be organized as a blueprint for what we are experiencing today. And you will remember that in Brave New World, the workers were divided into different, people were divided into different classes. And the lowest and most disposable class was the deltas. The deltas, like everybody else, were reproduced synthetically. And the most unspeakable, the foulest word that you could utter in Aldous Huxley's Brave New World was mother. Well, now we can't say mother. We have to say birthing person. And men are women and women are men, and nothing has any real definition except what people decide they want the meaning to be, which is psychotic, essentially. Now, I want to make it very clear. If people can find love, I don't care whom they find love with, as long as they're not molesting children. Adults can love anybody they choose, and that's fine. But when you attack and hypersexualize children and mutilate their bodies, as we're doing in the United States, and give them chemicals that will harm them for the rest of their lives, and make it perfectly okay to pretend that there is no such thing as science and genetics is an imaginary state that you choose, men or women, women or men, and when you support the destruction of reproduction through these means and through chemical means and through the shots and the huge impact on pregnancies and so on, then we are living out this program that was laid out before the turn of the 20th century and financed financed by these evil but endlessly wealthy psychopaths. So everything that's such a surprise to you and to me and to our neighbors and friends is actually part of a very well-articulated, specified intention. And that's what we're seeing now. Because one final thing, and then I'll stop in my monologue, but this is very important to understand, is that we are interested in our survival. They, these psychopathic, manipulative, murdering monsters, are interested in our destruction. So we have to wrap our minds around the fact that these are not normal times, because the normality has been systematically and sequentially attacked. And if we allow it to remain under attack, then we are asking to be destroyed. The Death Star, the mechanism for this destruction, is the World Health Organization, which is better called the World Holocaust Organization. And the only way we're going to stop this intentional madness, this intentional destruction, is for as many countries as possible to leave the WHO, which is entirely doable.
That's right. We'll move into that too, Doc. And yeah, incredible, isn't it? And billions of people scared of some fake virus that isn't there, but when they were actually injected with a bioweapon, that's probably what it is, huh? They were injected with it.
It was, Adam,
and there's nothing wrong with them.
It's not
they
probably
were.
What it is. It's not probably what it is. It is a bioweapon.
And yeah, this is the thing. People were made to be scared of a virus that was gonna get them. And at the same time, they're saying, oh, it's no more than the common cold or anything like that. But they were scared so much. It was really amazing how people lost all their sense of direction, their gut instinct, everything on this one. They couldn't see. They were blinded, and they were so scared that they were going to catch this because they were being whipped up into a frenzy by the media, 24/7, who are now backtracking and claiming, just like Justin Trudeau, I never forced anyone to get the jabs. That's what he's saying. That's what they're all saying now. You know, oh, we didn't force anyone. You did it to yourself. You know, and so people were scared about getting this thing so much that they went and they got injected with a bioweapon, as you mentioned there. So if you're worried about bioweapons, well, you just got injected with it. And so, you know, it is unbelievable times. You're on that, we're on that WHO thing, and we'll discuss this for a bit of a chunk, and then I've got some questions about the jabs themselves and for you to run through some bullet points. But looking at this piece and Australia exiting the WHO and all of this, obviously in the Truth of Movement, this is going all around the place, and there's a lot of confusion and people not sure what's going on. My mind was just basically in a nutshell, because during the lockdowns in Australia and everything that we saw, you know about these people, they had these bizarre chief health officers like Dr. Chant with the glasses and stuff that came out, and these people suddenly had all the power in the world to call lockdowns and what we did with our lives. We couldn't go here, you couldn't do that, you couldn't even exercise anymore. And they were calling all the shots, but they never had any power to do so. But it seems that they want to inject these kinds of health-type officers connected to the WHO into our regions. And when they call their pandemics again, these people will have control over everything that happens in a more systematic a stronger way than what they did before. So I feel like what they did before was a bit of a setup. And we hear through, as I said, I spoke with Malcolm Roberts. He's talking about all of this stuff as well, and everyone's discussing it. Give us, Doc, give us the bullet points here. Let us know what is going on with this WHO and what do they want to achieve here and what do we need to do to get out of all of this and what has gone on here? What is this game all about? Because I know a lot of people will be wanting to know this very much so they can share it, because there's confusion out there and we need people to be certain.
What I'm going to tell you is going to sound very crazy. And that's because it is crazy. But the craziness is not in those of us who are reporting it. The craziness is in those of us who have, those of them who have concocted it and who are bringing this insanity forward. So we have to remember that their plans are completely bonkers, but they are enormously well funded and in charge of the entire media machine. So it, they make it sound as if it's reasonable. So here's the deal. The Rockefeller predatory philanthropic system, which involved other groups too, and they would set up other groups. They brought in the Carnegies and the Ford Foundation and other great money systems, and now the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, whose original name, by the way, was the Bill and Melinda Gates Institute for Population Reduction. They changed the name, but not the purpose. Well, what they intend is literally a world dictatorship controlled entirely by one person. And that one person gets to decide what happens to your body, gets to overtake the sovereignty of your nation, gets to determine how many vaccines you take, gets to determine what you eat, where you live, where you travel, what products get sold to whom and at what price internationally, and on and on and on. That person in their plan is the Director General of the World Health Organization. And the Director General, who happens right now to be a known terrorist and genocidalist named Tedros Ghebreyesus, he was directly responsible for the murder of well in excess of 1 million Ethiopians when he was part of the Ethiopian government as Minister of Health. And he literally set up policies that slaughtered over 1 million Ethiopians who were not of his particular tribe. So you've got a known genocidalist terrorist in this position of power. The Director General of the World Holocaust Organization, as I think it should be called, will have under their plans, and it's not through the treaty, we'll talk about that in a minute, will have the authority to declare a pandemic. And they've removed the definition of pandemic. It could be anything, right? It could be aliens invading from outer space. He will have the authority to declare a public health emergency of international concern, or a fake, anywhere in the world. Now, let's say he decides that Australia has a new bug that it didn't have last week, or might have a new bug, or is prone to a new bug. He can declare a public health emergency of international concern, and Australia can say, no, we don't have that problem, and it doesn't matter, because with the powers that they're giving themselves, they will be able to say, well, we say that you have this problem, and therefore we are taking over the governance of your country. Therefore, we are determining who may travel where and who may communicate with whom and what may be said and what may not be said. We take total power because we said we could. Now, how did this happen? The World Health Organization gave itself the authority to control pandemic diseases or information about pandemic diseases by something through something called the International Health Regulations, which were passed initially, I believe, in 1994. And the idea was that countries would share information in the event of something bad happening. Well, that sounds reasonably okay. And then they decided that they would amend those. And so they said, well, in the event of a pandemic, and Margaret Chan, the previous director of the World Health Organization, eliminated the definition of pandemic. So pandemic is anything. In the event of a pandemic, well, then the World Health Organization takes over governance of every country in the world in order to protect everybody. That's a pretty scary idea. You saw a little bit of that during the lockdowns, where the government took over pretty much every aspect of your life, didn't you? And the World Health Organization, by the way, praised the China method of dealing with COVID, where they welded people into their homes and their cities. That was something that the World Health Organization thought was really cool. But anyway, they said, we can do that. That was approved in the third version of the World Health, the International Health Regulations. But that's not enough for them. You see, the World Health Organization was set up, and every country in the world entered into the World Health Organization believing that it was an advisory body. Now, it's corrupt and unsuccessful and controlled by special interests like the pharmaceutical and tobacco and nuclear industries because of the money they put in. But it's still an advisory organization. And the World Health Organization said, well, that's not enough. We want to be a controlling organization. So they've been amending the international health regulations in order to make everything that they say they want to do legally binding, which means they could come in with an army like UN peacekeepers, take over your country. They could inject you. Well, why would they inject you? The Inoculation Implementation Agenda, which is an official WHO document, which I've shared with people in other presentations. This document has a graph, a chart, and the chart lists what's going to happen to every man, woman, and child on the planet by the year 2030. And that is that every man, woman, and child on the planet will receive 500 novel vaccines and will receive all of the current vaccines that exist. You don't want a shingles vaccine. You don't want a rabies vaccine. You don't want a vaccine against the use of fentanyl. It doesn't matter, because these will be given to people whether they want them or not. Now, if you consider the harm that's been done by just one family of vaccines, these COVID gene therapies, then you can multiply that by 500 to imagine the harm that might be done. And there will be zero exemptions. This is part of their stated policy, because they will, in essence, own every aspect of your life. And if it weren't bad enough that the director general will have the unassailable, unchallengeable, unquestionable power to declare a public health emergency of international concern and require digital passports and a social credit score and everything else that's associated with all of that. If that weren't enough, the six regional directors will have the same power. So you've got seven independent people, each one deciding that they're basically the king of the world, and nobody can challenge their decisions. That's pretty scary. So everything that you saw, all of the lockdowns, all of the restrictions, all of the constriction of life and the destruction of life, that's just a pale reflection of what they have in mind through the international health regulations, which is not the treaty. The treaty is down the road, but the international health regulations are the threat at the moment.
These were the, what I was thinking about before, Doc, the regional health officers. I think you mentioned these.
The WHO has six health
They want
regions.
To install them. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. They want to bring them in, and then they call the shots. Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of
they
before.
They already yeah. Exist.
This is incredible, and you would have seen what they did in Melbourne, Australia. It was incredible, and people think that was it. No, that's what we've been trying to say. That was all like a test, you know. It was just like a drill
to
what's coming. Yes.
That was a test to see what people would accept, and the answer is they accepted everything.
Everything.
So. That's the walk in the park.
Yep, that's right. And they did. They accepted it. And I don't know if they're going to accept it again. But, boy, this is absolutely incredible time. So what is going on here in Australia, Doc, that you can fathom and the United States? What is the knowledge or the pushback to this? Because I think what you're saying there, for us to exit this WHO, and you alluded to there an important point. These people, it shows you the power and the money they have. They came into our countries and just our governments and health, everybody just buckled, you know. And so these orders for lockdowns and everything, you saw it, our state premiers turned into homicidal maniacs overnight.
Yes.
You know, we had state premiers like Daniel Andrews and these people who are just premiers of states. They're nothing. They're nobodies. Now they've gone back. They've disappeared. And now they're back to their normal political role. But during this, they were absolute dictators on a mission from hell. And they were clearly implementing all of this, and it was coming from outside the country. So this entity came in and said, you will do this. And no one had a choice, and they just did it. And it was just crazy. So it shows you the power they have.
And remember that now there's another layer of this. It's called Agenda 21, which is now Agenda 2030. And that's linked with this. Back in 1994, the United Nations proposed, and every country in the world accepted, something called Agenda 21, which is a total takeover of the world's everything, every aspect of life. Agenda 21, they use words like sustainability. It's not about sustainability. It's about slavery. It's about making sure that people live in 10-minute cities. Stockholm has just declared itself moving to being a 10-minute city. What that is an urban concentration camp. It means that the World Health Organization and the United Nations are committed to significant population reduction. How much? Well, at least 90% of the current population. And then the remaining population will be herded into transit villages, these 10-minute cities, where people will have the freedom to walk around their 10-minute city. But if they want to travel any further, they need a permit. They will not have cars. Everyone will live in 16 square meters for their entire life. No private housing. As Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum so famously said, "You will own nothing and you will be happy." And as he also said, "You will eat the bugs." They're mm-hmm. quite serious about that. So your food, your education, your movement, your occupation, all of this will be controlled by the state. You will have no freedoms except the freedom to be a slave. And of course, you will be thoroughly injected with everything that they want you to be injected with. You will never leave. The plan is, under Agenda 21, now 2030, you will never leave your 10-minute city or and go out into the wild, go for a hike, because the land will be, quote, rewilded and given back to the animals of nature. Now, the idea has been floated for a while that animals have the same rights that humans do. And the reason that idea was created was so that we could be persuaded that we have to never set foot on 90% of the landmass of the planet in order to give it back to the animals that have the same rights that we do. That's completely crazy, right? But this is part of the propaganda. Global warming is part of the propaganda. We have to reduce the population because we're warming the planet. This is crazy, and this is not scientifically founded. It's pseudoscience, just like vaccinology is pseudoscience. But all of these emotional appeals to pseudoscientific principles are designed to get us to agree to be infertile and captured, but captured in a way that human beings have never been captured before, captured at the DNA level, because those shots are gene therapy. They change your genes, not just your mRNA output. And so this is really important. There's another level here. I hate to be so complex, but it is a complex situation. And that is, if I own a patent for a sequence of base pairs for a gene, let's say, and I put that sequence into your genes, then legally, I own you. Talk about slavery from the inside out.
That's right. And we knew this. We knew that people have been injected with technology that is not theirs. That means that you are owned. And we know through many studies coming out now that people's blood work has been altered, even weak after getting these injections. And we know that
it's months. We're seeing no end. The longest studies that have been done, which are several months, show no change in these alterations. The alterations go on and on and on. They're very big alterations. They're not just little. The blood work is showing alteration, but the genes are changed. Now, DNA is our past, it is our present, and it is our future. These people are enslaving our genes. The only way that we can stop them is to stop being part of their system, which is becoming increasingly tyrannical and dictatorial. Remember monkeypox? Monkeypox was a complete fiction, and yet Tedros declared a monkeypox pandemic for the whole world. Now, it was so ridiculous that they couldn't make it fly, so they backed off, although they still have a monkeypox pandemic. Pandemic? What are you talking about? This is nonsense. But they don't care because they're not bound by logic and reason. They have an agenda and they will pursue it. And it is depopulation and enslavement.
Yeah, that's right. And I was crazy. I was just talking on a few podcasts, just looking at
some of the work of Rudolf Steiner. And there was an article I put up called The Blood Demons, and looking at all this work that he's done. And there is a bit in there which is really interesting about in the blood. And it says that some people said that he predicted a vaccine would appear that would be the delivery system for the final defeat of mankind. And there's also information about how clear he was in saying this, and that the lecture was the fall of the spirits of darkness. And he was talking about the blood and that they were going to go through this in some way. That the blood isn't something just to be looked at and all of this. Oh, it's just your blood. It doesn't matter. Like, it was interesting all that time ago that he was talking about people's blood work and that they were going to inject the masses with a vaccine. And he also talks about that this vaccine would cut us off from receiving, you know, our spiritual, if you will, destination, or our heightened sort of awareness and knowledge that we receive. It's very, very, very incredible sort of documents when you have a look into that. But how could a man at that time in history say something like that? And now we're looking at this, and this is a completely different ball game now. But, you know, it's just, they've got people so used to getting your annual flu shots. A lot of people I spoke to just felt like it was like that. Look, I've got to work and I've got to do this, so I'm just going to go down again. And I don't, and I'm just like, do you understand that this is going to change your blood and your very makeup, who you are, your DNA? Schwab said that, didn't he? It, you know, that it changes you, not you, how you
it
are.
Does, but it does you. Change you. If you change DNA and if you control your neurology,
quite.
Then you have to, and the self-assembling technology in the vaccines makes it possible for information, thought, and behavior to be controlled. Gian Tempo has been making this public knowledge, and others, for the last decade. Let me read you something that Bertrand Russell, one of the Fabian socialists, leading lights, winner of the Nobel Prize in mathematics, brilliant man. Let me read you something that he said. Quote, diet, injections, and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable. And any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. Even if all are miserable, all will believe themselves happy because the government will tell them that they are so. Klaus Schwab, you will own nothing and you will be happy. Diet, that's poison food, injections, these are the DNA-altering vaccines, and injunction, that's propaganda, will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable.
Absolutely insane, and probably heading towards the end of the podcast, we'll talk about what we do, what we can do right now with this WHO madness. But before we go there, Doc, what is this that has been injected into billions of people? And you have, or you're working on or funding for, a protocol to help people who have been injected with this stuff. I myself have, you know, I don't want to be negative about it. I don't know of a way that people may be able to get this out. It is a very, very strange game. Also, I don't know what your, I'd love your opinion on what's happened to people who have had a few or had a couple and they feel fine now after a year or so. Are they going to be okay? What is going on with people? It seems to me that people are getting a couple and then they're like, you people are crazy. I feel fine. I've never felt better.
And so they're more likely to get themselves a booster, and then that might be okay. But I actually know people that have got a fourth booster, and bang, they've had heart complications. And really interesting story, Doc, and this is a personal one, so I'll protect their identity. I actually know a family, and where the wife, they're younger, the man got two doses of Moderna, and the wife didn't. And he had a terrible kind of like reaction. He was sick for a while, and he was okay. Now he's all right. But what's really interesting is the wife has developed heart problems, and she never had those before. And she's got all these palpitations and issues with her heart, where sometimes they just have to rush her to the hospital now, but she's not vaccinated. And I don't want to tell anybody that this stuff's spreading or anything or whatever. I don't know what's going on there. I just found that like a really interesting case. But also I do know some very, very direct deaths and serious, serious health problems after getting these boosters. But a lot of people still feel okay. What's going on here, Doc, with these things? Why do you get such an extreme violent reaction, instant death in some people, and then you've got a mix of people okay for a while, and then they're going down, and then you've got a bunch of people who's, you know, I'm okay. This is really crazy. Seems like they're killing people off, so, you know, in sort of different areas, so nobody gets suspicious or something. But I really, it's just crazy to me, looking at it all. It is really a hard one to figure out. Were they given a placebo?
And if
was everyone given a dose? I don't know.
If you're confused, that is precisely what they want. Mm. There is a website called howbadismybatch.com. It's a very, very interesting site. howbadismybatch.com. And if you know the actual batch that you've been injected with, or that your kids have been injected with, and it's usually written on the vaccine record, it's supposed to be written by law, you can go and look and see what the reported death and serious adverse event statistics are for that particular batch. And when you look at that site, that website, and many, many other websites and many other biostatisticians have confirmed what's on that website. So it's not one guy just making up imaginary data. What you find is very interesting. You find that 95% of the deaths have been caused by 5% of the lot numbers. And you find that those particular lot numbers, whether it's Pfizer or Moderna, or Johnson & Johnson, or AstraZeneca. But those particular lot numbers were constructed differently. What do I mean by that? Well, let's say a lot number is 12 numbers and two letters. Okay? I'm just making up an example here. But you might say that the lot number, well, let's make it easy. Let's say it's four numbers and two letters. So a lot number might be 7695AE. Except the batches where people experience so many deaths and cataclysmic adverse events, paralysis, strokes, etc., those lot numbers are labeled differently. So instead of 4769 AE, these lot numbers might be called B1Q5269F. In other words, a different structure for the very name. Well, that's odd. Then you see that these particular differently labeled, not just a different number, but differently labeled, the label is constructed differently. These differently labeled lots are associated with vast increases in the numbers of deaths reported to the European monitoring system, the US monitoring, the Canadian monitoring, all the monitoring systems of the world where these lots have been used. The terrible things have happened in much higher numbers. Well, that makes it look like, although the labels say the same thing, the actual reality of the contents is very far from uniform. That happens to be a crime in the United States, in Australia, in pretty much every country in the world. It's called misbranding, and it's a very, very serious crime. But leaving misbranding aside, then you look at the fact that one person may have gotten injected with saline, we don't know. Another person may have gotten injected with one of these death lots, and yet a third person may have gotten injected with something that doesn't seem to have immediate impact, but may have later impact. If you think about a bee sting, if I get stung by a bee, it's going to hurt like hell, but it's not going to kill me. If the guy next to me, who has a sensitivity or an allergy to the bee venom, gets stung by a bee, he could kill over dead immediately, right? It could be the same kind of bee. Of course, bees only sting once, so it's not going to be the same bee. But you understand what I mean. So there are biological individualities in people, but there are vast, vast discrepancies between vials. We know that because in the few vials that we've had an opportunity to look at, and by the way, in the United States, every vial is the property of the Department of Defense. So examining a vial instead of injecting it is actually a crime. That's interesting, isn't it? No vaccine has ever been the property of the Department of Defense before. But then again, as far as we know, no vaccine has been developed as a bioweapon by the Department of Defense, and these vaccines have been. So when you look at those discrepancies, you begin to understand why some people don't show any adverse events, and some people do. But there's another level of discrepancy again. First of all, several. First of all, increasing the number of exposures to these poisons increases what happens, increases the negative effects to people. And there are charts that have come out of the UK Office of National Statistics that show very clearly the more doses of these horrible things you have, the more damage you have to your immune system, until finally, after three or more, you basically don't have a functioning immune system left, which is why the turbo cancers are so common. And at the same time, you're getting increasing levels of heart disease and neurological damage and strokes and aneurysms and so on because of the damage to various parts of the system. And the immune system is being further and further and further suppressed. So the damage is either immediate, intermediate, or long term. But in my view, if you didn't get a placebo and you actually got a vial full of real stuff, you either have problems now or you're going to have problems, unless we find a way to disinfect, literally disinfect people. Now, these vaccines were designed to be contagious. DARPA, the defense unit, the U.S. Department of Defense unit that does advanced research. DARPA has been working on contagious vaccines for a long time. And I believe that these vaccines are intended to be contagious, that people intentionally are biologically programmed by the vaccines to shed infective material so that whether you take a vaccine or not, you are vaccinated. forget about informed consent. Before he was murdered, my husband, Major General Albert N. Stubblebine III, a courageous and brilliant strategic analyst, said quite correctly, informed consent is the defining issue of the 21st century. And indeed it is. What happens to your body is either under your control or you are a slave. And what they very much want is for us to be slaves. So if the vaccines are contagious, if shedding is real, if transfection is real, then all they have to do is wait. Everybody will be infected. And then an awful lot of people will die. Now, let's talk about how they might die. You've seen the videos of people just sort of stiffening and dying. Sometimes they turn around and look, typically over their left shoulder, as if they're hearing something and they're looking for the source of it. And sometimes they just fall over like a plank. Well, I believe that those, and I've made a video about this that you can find on my channel on Rumble.
They look like they're being tased, Doc.
They do look like they're being tased. And I believe that they are being hit with a 5G signal, a pulsed microwave signal, and then the self-assembling nanotechnology that they've been injected with or that they've been transfected with by their neighbors. The self-assembling nanotechnology sends out a signal that causes every striated muscle in the body to go into immediate spasm. Now, the heart is a striated muscle. And so I believe that what is happening to those poor people is that they are being used for experimentation and they are being zapped or tased, if you will. It's like being tased. And they fall over when every muscle goes into spasm. When people die, Adam, and unfortunately as a physician, I've seen a lot of people die. When people die, they fold. They compress their body. People clutch their heart when they're having pain in their heart, a heart attack, for example. And they call out to people. They say, oh, mama, mama, or don't let me die, or Jesus help me, or something like that. But these people don't. There's no blinking. There's no calling out. There's no twitching of their faces because all of those muscles have gone into complete spasm or tetany, as it's called. And I believe that they die suddenly because they've been exterminated suddenly, like lab animals who are hit with a pulse. And I believe that that explains this unique way of dying. I must tell you, I've been a physician for 53 years. And I have never before seen anybody stiffen and die instantaneously in that way. Never.
Yeah. Yep. I've seen it too. And it is insane. And we've been discussing that very obvious connection between pulsing and being hit with some kind of microwave weapons and the reaction of the self-assembling nanotech in people. And this way that you explain it does make a lot of sense. Wow, it's incredible. I would just say, I mean, for those of us who didn't get the needles in, you know, directly injected into us, we would probably be in a lot better shape. But at least that is something. But this is very strange times looking at this. And with the blood, Doc, something earlier on that came out as well was, I don't remember his name, but I remember putting up some posts coming from Canada where the doctors were dealing with people after they started getting AstraZeneca and stuff. We saw that in Australia. They started getting blood clotting.
Dr. Huff.
Yeah, and he noted that a lot of young people were coming in with blood clotting symptoms, but it wasn't showing up on the blood test. So he was doing the D-dimers and the DEPA tests. And although they felt almost normal. The only symptoms they said they had is like, I can't kind of exercise or do things like I used to. I'm kind of running out of puff now, which is not like me. And I've spoken to a lot of people who say that. It's like, I basically feel okay, but I feel like I can't do as much anymore and I've got to sort of stop. And then he noted that they had these micro blood clots. And now if this is happening at a very micro level, that is devastating, because people might not know for a while. And that's something
exactly.
That is building as well. This is
exactly.
Dangerous.
Exactly. It's intended. But you see, Adam, you're absolutely, totally correct. But it's intended to
yes.
be dangerous
yes.
because this is a depopulation program.
Mass murder.
And as I said before, we are interested in our survival. They are interested in our destruction.
That's right. And as
so
you said,
when we say, well, the vaccines are ineffective because people are dying and they're not protecting people from the disease, they didn't need protection from the disease. They needed protection from the monsters who created what is supposed to be a protection for the disease. And the vaccines are very effective. They're killing us.
It's crazy more people can't see it. I mean, they're going back before they came to Australia, the jabs, you know. I knew this was all coming, and people, there was nothing here. They were locking down. They were locking down our cities for one case.
let me ask you a question. What's a case?
They were locking down
your cities for one case. They were locking down your cities for one alleged case.
Alleged case, yeah. This happened now, so very well in Western Australia. He locked down Perth. And then they came out and said, oh, no, it wasn't. Oh, we don't know. We're not sure. But hang on. You just locked down 2 million people for 2 weeks. And you
right.
don't know now? But no, he did it. He does what he wants. Locking off the borders. Just monsters doing whatever the hell they want. Look at Michael Gunner. You saw this guy in the Northern Territory. He's out of his mind. Where's he gone? Oh, he's left. He said, you're all stepping down now. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. But then when the injections went into arms, everybody started getting really sick. But they can't put two and two together that it was the jabs that did it. Oh, boy.
I created a word which actually somebody liked well enough to write a book using the word as the title. The word is iatrogenocide, which means murder by doctor.
Sure is. That's right. Heading towards the end now, Doc, let us know about the protocols you're working on to help people who have been injected. What can they do if they're listening to this?
There are a lot of protocols on the internet that purport to detox from the jabs. But the first thing you must do is never take any other jabs, including conventional vaccines. They're all poison. I think about it logically. There's no way to induce health by putting pus and poison into your body, and certainly no way to induce health by putting gene therapies into your body. Don't do that. That's the first thing.
That's the first rule of Fight Club.
Yeah, the first rule of Fight Club is don't do that.
Don't get vaccinated.
Don't get vaccinated. All vaccines suppress your immune system and worse. Don't do that. And if you have a healthy immune system, you don't need vaccines. And if anybody says, well, you have to get vaccinated to protect me, ask them to explain to you how, if the vaccine is working, they need protection through your being vaccinated if they're vaccinated. What? That makes no sense at all. So don't get vaccinated anymore. And it's really important to eat chemical-free foods and do the things that we know are good for immune systems and general health. But beyond that, the protocols that are brought out certainly can't hurt. And we do know that things like dandelion tea and bromelain and N-acetylcysteine and vitamin D are certainly helpful in regulating the immune system and helping it recover to some extent. We know that EDTA will help take out the heavy metals that they've injected. That's all true. But that's not very surprising stuff. However, we do not yet know how to get rid of the self-assembling technology. And I have created a research project to try to find a quick, easy, inexpensive, effective way to find out what's in people, whether they've been jabbed or whether they've been shed upon, and then a quick, easy, inexpensive way to get it, to get the self-assembling nanotechnology as well as the other stuff out of people. Right now, we have no protocol that deals with the most harmful thing that the vaccines do, and that is put in the self-assembling nanotechnology and alter the genes. There are some products that my research program will look at to see if we can literally reverse the genetic damage as well as get this stuff out of bodies. Right now, there is no program that will do that, which is why not taking these jabs and certainly not taking any more is so important. And then the third thing that has to be done, Adam, is you have to avoid the vaccinated. I don't go to theaters any longer. I love theater. I don't go to live music performances, although I love them. I'm a contra dancer, which is a social dance form, and it's one of the great joys of my life. I don't do that anymore because the shedding is through breathing and contact, physical contact, and through the exchange of bodily fluids. And contra dancing is a dance form where you get sweaty and you're in ballroom dance position. You're touching somebody else and your face and their face are in close proximity. And so you're breathing the same air. So they're jabbed and they're contaminating you. As much as these activities give me pleasure, I no longer do them because it's not worth my life. I go shopping once a week. Most of my shopping is online because I don't want to be contaminated by random strangers or anybody else. Does that make me happy? No. Am I enjoying the isolation? Absolutely not. But is it important to maintain my health? Yeah, it is.
That's right. 100%.
And when I socialize, I socialize exclusively with the unvaccinated. I ask people, have you accepted the COVID jabs? And if they say yes, I do not socialize with them.
And not long ago, it was the other way around.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we were the lepers. Yeah, we were the bad ones. Oh, absolutely incredible. And it's, yeah, everything's inverted, so we know the truth. I will put up also this, Doc, in finishing the podcast. The WHO, as we've been discussing tonight, wants to become a legislative authority instead of an advisory board, giving them unbelievable powers that will be binding on all Australians, and our spineless, gutless, coward government can't wait to bend over and sign all this. What do we all need to do right now? And I'll put up these links to get out of this. And tell us about Trump as well. Is that something he wanted to do, or he didn't do it at all, like in for the United States? How can you guys get
out of this? It was a sleight of hand maneuver. Remember that there has never been a more pro-vaccine president than Trump. There has never been a more pro-5G president than Trump. And those two things go together, unfortunately. So Trump said, I'm going to get the United States out of WHO. And what he did was announce that and then give twice the money that the United States pays to WHO to Gavi, the Global Vaccine Alliance, which is another Gates program, exactly like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So he doubled the amount of money that the United States was giving to pro-vaccine forces and called it getting out of WHO. It was sleight of hand and deception and despicable. However, we need to pound on our politicians, because only the politicians, the gatekeepers, can get us out of these organizations. The first organization we have to leave is WHO and its component parts like the international health regulations. And then we have to leave the United Nations, because they're behind all this. They're driving WHO, which is, although it's a separate organization, it is an arm of UN policy. That's what it's there for. And this is all created and orchestrated to bring about these times. I don't know if we're in biblical end times, but we're at Rockefeller end times. This is what they've been moving toward. And they were deterred from moving to it completely by not having the science. So they have bought the science. And now they have the science and they can do this to us. If we are part of their system, we need to exit WHO by demanding our politicians do that. And that will take massive political will, millions of people using their communication with their representatives. So go to AustraliaExitsTheWho.com and go to PreventGenocide2030.org. Find out what's going on, stay abreast, and take action, and tell everyone you can reach, hey, you know why we're in this mess? It's because we're in WHO. Help me get us out.
And the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. 24 presidential campaign? What's your thoughts on that, getting him in?
I am waiting to see that this is not controlled opposition. Mm.
It's interesting.
That this is not some, oh, it's very interesting that this is not somebody who has been put in as a stalking horse to absorb all the energy, the oxygen, and the money in this part of the room, so to speak. It's fine rhetoric. I'm waiting to see whether this is in fact controlled opposition being very smart or whether it's not.
Time will tell, eh? It's going to be an interesting next couple of years, boy.
There is one thing that I want to say about this. Even if Kennedy is controlled opposition, and maybe he is, maybe he isn't, you know, I don't know. But even if he is, his going into the ring with his hat for the presidential run brings the vaccine issue into mainstream discourse. So whatever he is or is not, that is a good thing. Now we have to talk about it. Now, I was at a very interesting meeting this past week, the American Freedom Alliance, where I was invited to be a speaker. And these are heavy, heavy, heavy Trump supporters. Steve Bannon is the president of the board of that organization. So this is Trump land. And the discussion was Trump has to own the vaccines and the vaccine mistake or he won't be reelected. Mm. I thought that was fascinating. And they repeatedly referred to the fact that Kennedy was now in the ring and therefore the vaccine issue was now in the ring.
That's right. It has to be. And that's what we're seeing now. And it's only going to intensify the injuries, the deaths. People were scammed, abused. People want answers. They're getting agitated and angry. And now the media are coming out. The whole thing's starting to collapse. And they can't just put it under some rock. So it has to be dead center. It's got to come out. And whoever goes in there is going to have to answer to it.
And unless, unless they pull a new pandemic
That's
out of their political bum. or yeah. they suddenly decide that we're being invaded by aliens, some sort of grasshopper is threatening human life or something.
Some mad thing to distract the planet away.
Yes.
If that doesn't happen, heads have got a role here. I mean, billions of people are going to want answers. Look at, as we say, what's happening in France now. There's people are rising up. I think it's incredible times, and they can't just come in here and do that and then think that nothing's going to happen. So a lot of people want answers, and I can see it's already starting to boil over. And that's why I say it's going to be incredible times. So we all have to keep pushing this. I think this is just interesting what's happening in the US. I think it really is. And we will see what goes on here. I will put up and share all these links. And if you have any other links that you can think of, just shoot them to me in the chat there on Skype so I can put them up.
Well,
Prevent
Genocide 2030 has a vast amount of information and has many, many, many links. So it's not only a place to take action, it's also a repository. And there is something that people can do. On Prevent Genocide 2030, there is a press room, and there is a press release, and there is a backgrounder. Send it to the independent media. People like you, Adam, need to get the information out, the story out, cover the story as it unfolds and develops, and be the presence of the media, because the mainstream media is the presence of the oppressor.
Absolutely 100%. And now these gutless little cowards, after what they did, they're trying to act like they didn't do anything wrong. You know? Oh, sorry, we didn't know. Oh, we're on your side. It's unbelievable. No, they're not going to get away with it. And we're never going to forgive or forget what they did. And so this kind of information, I'm just sending it over now to the Telegram channel. And I'll start posting all this around. That is Prevent Genocide 2030. I'll actually name the podcast that and link it in. Anything else you want to link in, Doc, with websites or information?
I want to emphasize how incredibly important what you're doing, Adam, is. You're staying on top of it. You're reminding people, and you're normalizing asking questions.
That's right.
So, I really love what you're doing, and I appreciate it greatly.
I'm always asking questions and babbling away here, and that's why I get the guests on and I do my podcast. I'm always questioning, and I don't say I know anything. I'm just here learning, and I want to know more. And it's very important that we do that, and get the conversation rolling and get the information out there is extremely important. And we'll continue to do so, despite their attempt to censor us, and take us down. That's what working on.
Yes, I'm sure you've discussed with your audience the fact that these people are so scared of us that they label our ideas as the main, most important, primary threat to health around the world. Really? Why is that? Why is it that vaccine hesitancy, I'm not hesitant, I'm absolutely totally opposed to it, but why is it that anti-vax information is the single most dangerous thing on the planet, according to WHO and the CDC? Really? I am so honored.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm not hesitant either. That would imply that I'm not sure. I'm absolutely certain.
Right, right.
About the vaccine issue. It is. Yeah, they're doing that here. They stage these events and then they start saying that we're all dangerous and we're potential terror threats. And it's the anti-vaxxers and all of this. It's absolutely outrageous. But you know what? They're shooting themselves in their own feet. They're going for too much. They're overreaching. And the whole system, it's like malfunctioning on them because they're going for too much. As you know, they're trying to push this Agenda 30 system Ford. Like, they've just gone for so much here. And now with all their technology and all this stuff they're doing, as people are getting bamboozled, and I think it's exposing them. So I think we're right in the eye of the storm now. And there's never been a more important time to get all this information out and this new information that you're getting access to and that we can share here as well. And that is a very positive, blunt message. Let's exit the WHO and these foreign entities. None of us need them. And why the hell are our governments funding these people? This is absolutely outrageous. We don't need them. Absolutely in no way, shape or form. So let's exit. And let's get the people to help that pull out of this, because it's time to wake up and get out, or it's only going to get much worse. These people, Dr. Rima, as you said when we started, have shown us they are absolute psychopathic maniacs. There's not a compassionate bone in their bodies. They simply don't care. It's just murder. We're just nothing but rats in an experiment. They absolutely don't care. And it's amazing they turned our police forces and politicians and media into that as well. So they played that all the way down the line.
But you see, this has been scripted since before the turn of the 20th century.
Yes.
What they've put the governmental perception control, they've put the medical perception control, they've put the public health perception control and all the other factors into play. They've controlled the media. David Rockefeller made the statement famously that without the help of the Washington Post and the New York Times all the media outlets bringing in the New World Order, and this is the New World Order, bringing in the New World Order would not have been possible. Well, yeah. So they've used their brilliance for evil instead of good.
And also, Doc, they tried to make out through the pharmaceutical corporations, Pfizer and everything, that there was just a pandemic and we scrambled to get these mRNA jabs out there and we gave you the best product we could, and you know, it doesn't stop transmission, but we did the best we could. But these products were designed, right?
Absolutely
designed and with intent.
The PCR test kits were sold by the hundreds of millions. We have the bills of lading that were sold and shipped internationally by the hundreds of millions starting in 2017. Mm-hmm. Now, and they were called COVID-19 PCR test kits. Now, either they have the best psychics in the world working for them, or this was an entirely put up job, orchestrated, planned, all the pieces put into place until they were ready for the propaganda machine to say, oh my God, there's a new disease.
That's right. And as we always say too, they've been prepping the population with all the pandemic and contagion movies for years now, through the movies.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So we're being prepared and prepped for this blow.
Predictive programming.
Yes, it's and here it is. It's just amazing, absolutely incredible, and we know more every day. And I'm going to have to keep our discussion rolling on some more podcasts. So we'll connect again for some more when you're available.
And lovely.
I'll plug
Thank
in
you,
with you
so much.
And we'll and we'll continue our discussions. You know, of course, when you're at home and you're not busy, we'll just jump on and go over the latest and any important information, send it through to me, or jump on if you feel you need to. And we'll get that out there. And I'll always stay in touch to keep active with your work and everything. And we'll just keep going. We are plugging out for the night. Please just stay there for one sec, Doc, so I can save my recording. Don't hang up. Yes, I'm doing it on my mobile. And we will be plugging out for the podcast today. Dr. Rima Labo, great to have you on. As always, a pleasure. Your research and unbelievable experience in this and your knowledge, wealth of knowledge is absolutely incredible. So fantastic chatting with you and getting this information out to all our listeners. And we will be plugging in again soon. So please take care.
Thank you.